All right, let's take our 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and we begin this afternoon at verse number 18. 2 Timothy 2, 18, and let's read. Let's pick it up with 17, because it goes 17, 18, and 19, starting with verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Welcome to those listening by the internet. If you want to call us, 856-261-9018, or give us an email, questions at bftbc.org. Anna's got some already. Go ahead, Anna.
Hello to everyone. I enjoyed the message this morning and the good songs. Looking forward to the Bible study. Julie.
Julie, thank you for calling us. Let's wave to Julie way up in Erie, Pennsylvania. She was here last Sunday. Now she's not here with us except through the internet, so she's here. Thank you, Julie. And those who want to call us at 856-261-9018 or questions at bftbc.org. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 17 we picked up last time. Who are the two that Paul names as false teachers? Hymenaeus and Philetus. Why did Paul name them? Was it important or unimportant?
It's always important to name a false teacher.
It's always important to name a false teacher. What happens if you don't name false teachers sometime?
Then innocent people are going to fall victim.
But innocent people. What would be true if you didn't label poison, you put it in the medicine cabinet? What would possibly take place?
You might eat by mistake.
You might eat by mistake. Some little child, some just drink and think it's something else. So labeling is good. And these two, apparently, were so that Paul felt that he should warn Pastor Timothy concerning. Yes, Dick?
This Hymenaeus also appeared in 1 Timothy. And at that time, he was pretty much the same idea. But he was saying that the day of the Lord had already passed.
All right.
And deluded people.
All right.
I wonder whether they were honestly believing that, or whether they were just promoting some kind of heresy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't denying the resurrection, but they were just misplacing it.
Yes. And 1 Timothy chapter what?
Yeah, what?
1 Timothy chapter, my wife asked what the reference for Hymenaeus.
Chapter 1, I think.
Chapter 1. Okay.
Hymenaeus, saying that the day of the Lord is
coming. Mm-hmm.
20, verse 20.
120, thank you, man.
Okay.
120. Hymenaeus and Alexander.
Maybe it's before that.
They're on the same.
What I was wondering was that if they had gotten some kind of misunderstanding from Paul about the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
So they weren't denying the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
They were misplacing it.
Yeah, misplacing it.
And I was wondering whether they were, like in 15, they were not rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
They had this opinion that it was some other time other than where.
But apparently, Hymenaeus in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Timothy was blaspheming, that they learned not to blaspheme. So they were doing something that was wrong. In this case, they said the resurrection has passed. Now notice that he labels them, and it's important to do that, false teachers, and all kinds of things. Now, for instance, this morning we talked about David Cloud's analysis of these fundamentalist Baptist organizations, 17 of them, that started out separatist and Bible believing and everything fine. All of a sudden they've drifted so badly now they're way off on separation, amalgamating with compromise and so on. He named 17 of them, see? Well, now we know exactly what we're talking about. Cedarville College was one of them, which I used to teach at. General Association of American Baptist Church was one of them, which I used to be a part of. I was an AB chaplain for 5 years in active duty, endorsed by the GARPC. It's horrible how these things have drifted back. Dick?
Isn't it interesting that you never see a school or a church that starts out in liberalism or in
heresy or apostasy.
It starts out in heresy, mm-hmm. and then as it grows, it becomes more spiritual and attending to the scriptures truthfully.
Yes, never do.
I never heard of that.
No, that's right.
It's always down. It's always going to start to top and go down.
Yes, and that's the evil that Dallas Theological Seminary taught us back when I was going there, 48 to 52. They said, you fellows, don't separate. This amalgamate. You go into these apostate denominations, Rite of Presbyterian, the USA, and everyone, and see if you can come out. Never it will happen. False teaching. Come out from among them, be separate, say the Lord, cast out the unclean thing. As Dick says, sound, sane churches and seminaries and schools and homes and various things will apostatize, but the apostasy will never come back the Bible truth. It just never happens. It never happens. Yvonne?
I have two things. I can't remember. I glanced through Dr. Jackson's thing real fast the other day. And the new person there, I think, was just in England. I'm not sure. Associated Baptist or that. I believe he's charismatic, but I'm not sure whether charismatic or individual. Because I read it real fast. I didn't know how to repeat it. And the other thing was that.
From what school?
For the Association of Baptist or Little Man.
All right.
I don't know what school. I can find
it. Oh, okay. The mission board, ABWE?
And the other thing was, are we not to start schools just because they're going to be apostates, just because they're going to turn?
Well, how would you answer that?
My dad was in the beginning of fear.
Yes, and horrible. Martin Luther King and everything else are praising. This is a terrible thing. And now they've got Southern Baptist. They're in the Southern Baptist Convention now. Cedarville College, now Cedarville University. It used to be Cedarville Baptist College when I taught there for a year. And Don Spong, yes, ma'am?
The reason they couldn't keep the Baptist on the charter.
That's right.
They
put just Cedarville
College.
Well, what about it? Let's ask this question. Questions at WBC.org or 856-261-9018. Let's ask the question. Should we start schools? Will schools ever stay the same or not? Go ahead, Dan, what you got?
That's a small point. Come on, we have to ask questions to our people.
All right.
I'm asking you people right here, too. Should you start school? What happens to school? Is it wise or unwise? Is it foolish or wise to start a school?
Well, it's wise to start a school as long as you make sure the people that are coming in teaching there aren't going to lead it astray.
Okay, now how are you going to vouchsafe that and make sure of it? Anna?
We shouldn't start a school that's going to teach our young people to do what's right, because we want to say, well, we shouldn't start a new church because apostasy could be just one generation away. That's the apostasy is always just one generation away, so we have to teach our children properly so that they can teach their grandchildren, like 2 Timothy 2:2.
Bill?
That's good.
Basically the same idea. It's good to start the school, teach it as best you can, especially sound doctrine, but you can't stop it from straying if somebody is already in that church who has a tendency to rationalize, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really stop it.
So it's one thing to start a school. Now, if you start a school like this, it's an internet school, that's the one thing, it's easy because it doesn't cost a lot of money. But if you raise money, millions and millions and billions now of dollars in big buildings, who always comes to the fore after one or two generations and takes it over? Who always comes to the fore?
Satan
and the modernist liberals apostates. Whether it's United Methodist Church down the street, wherever it is, buildings, just they gravitate to buildings. And it's a waste of money as far as I can see. Let local churches teach their people from the pulpits and from their school, like Dan's got the really major Bible themes in his Greek class. Let that be the thing, see? And realize that it will not last completely for generation after generation. Generations change, do they not? So, schools, it's interesting. Yeah, Dick?
I had a time in my life when I was associated with Percy Crawford.
Yes.
And the Pine Brook Bible Conference, and then mm-hmm. founded the King's College,
right.
And so forth. And with the exception of the King's College, when he passed away at a rather early age, I think it was in his 40s, I believe, when he died of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
But when he died, the whole thing died with him because he was at the head of everything.
Yeah.
And he had his thumb on everything that went on in either of his organizations.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, his sons kind of tried to take it over, half-heartedly, I think, but they soon dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was good because if it had kept on after he died, what would it be today?
Yes.
Probably like Wheaton College or even his beloved King's College.
Yes,
it went gone.
Yeah.
And that King's College man, that started out with his whole idea was to teach the Bible and get these kids into secular fields, you know, but with a good solid Bible training.
Yes, one of the schools that Dr. Williams is going to start, Sarah, Bill, you want me to be the president, Dan, the vice president, he's the vice president. I asked him one time, he's dropped the whole idea, so it was through the internet. I asked him a question a month or so ago. Dr. Williams, how are you going to be sure that this thing will never go to pot? See, that was my concern, because that's very important. You don't know, generation after generation. But Bob Jones University, the founder of that, Bob Jones Sr., made it very clear, when this school stands for some other version or something else, let's close the doors. And they never carry it through. It was RSB, I think. But it drops the King James Bible, let it stop. Well, they didn't pay any attention to it since it's such a big thing. It kept going, see. There's no way you could keep things from apostatizing because the next generation is taught by different people and so on. Yeah, wow.
This is what I found on page 11 of the October-November Digest. In June 2011, Michael Loftus, who has served the past 13 years as the president of the association, etc., and he had to conclude his service as a physician because that had something to do with Dr. Ketchum pedophilism and not exposing it, something like that. I think if I remember reading that correctly.
Don Ketchum, the younger.
Yeah, he's old now.
No, well,
the son.
Not Robert
Ketchum.
No,
the son,
yeah. The ABWE board named Dr. Al Cockrell, C-O-C-K-R-E-L-L, to serve as ABWE interim executive administrator. Dr. Cockrell is clearly a new evangelical. Before accepting the ABWE post, Cockrell was a senior consultant with Enjoy, the church leadership training organization headed by the new evangelical Lutheran minister preacher John Maxwell. Then it goes on to talk about that. So anyhow, but ABWE was gone a long time ago.
Oh yes, it went when Dr. Williams, Dr. Bennett was a part of it, and because they were having all kinds of compromises, he quit.
Wendell Kempton,
yes, and they were so mad at him for quitting. They withdrew his retirement. Dr. Bennett was so angry with Dr. Bennett's leaving because they're falling in different areas. They wouldn't give him his insurance and his fine. Until I wrote him, did what wrong? We just knocked him over the head. Finally, they released his retirement pay. So he got it, see, but they didn't want to give it to him. Yeah, Bill.
Dr. Jasmine's book, When Fundamentalist Schools Go Apostate, is an excellent study on this very subject.
Yes, it is. That's good. So I see in verse number 17 and 18, I'm an Asian college. Was it funny?
I want to say one more thing.
Yeah?
Back when the president ABWF died and then they got attention, but before that they asked Dr. Dick Durham.
Yes.
Richard Durham was my friend's husband. And, anyhow, it would have been a different ABWE, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be a missionary, which was his calling. But it would have been a different ABWE. It would have been a different one.
Yes, it would.
It might have gone.
Would have gone the same way, probably.
But not at first.
Not at first. But you see,
it would have been more.
You see, the thing about it is our friend Dick Durham, compromised now. He's in with Cedarville College up to his ears. He used to teach there. And Cedarville College is a compromised school. So I don't know whether Dick Durham would be any more than a compromise himself. He was all right to start with, but it wouldn't last. I know we're friends, but I mean, I wouldn't anymore be in the faculty of the Cedar Hill. In fact, they kicked me out of the faculty because I wanted to be served. Anyway, so all right, but things go fast, don't they, when they're false teachings, and you can't stop it. You just cannot stop it. And with this PCC now accreditation, if that means accreditation as far as the government is concerned, there's rules and regulations for accrediting agencies if that's what it is. I don't know the type of accreditation, it's PCCA or whatever, it's a different type of accreditation. But if it's government, you've got to page 17 or 19, I don't know much, 7, 13, 19. But if it's government, they will tell you who you can hire, who you can fire, who you can't fire, whether it's homosexuals, whether it's unsafe people, whether it's people from, how many PhDs you have to go. And to get a PhD, you got to go to a secular school, learn all their apostasy, and then teach in the school. Various regulations. Dan.
I think they're going to transatlantic accreditation, which is a national accreditation, and it's somewhat of a Mickey Mouse accreditation.
Yeah, with the charismatics and leaders of the song, yes.
But it's some kind of Mouse in the sense that it's not recognized. Mm-hmm. It's not recognized even by community colleges. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe community colleges would be stricter. I mean, I haven't investigated with state right. colleges. Then you go to community college in this county, and they will not accept the school that's accredited by that agency.
Mm-hmm. So there's different kinds of accreditation, different kinds of things.
In a sense, it's different than your regional accreditation. Yes. Not that it's still accreditation, and this agency is supposed to be somewhat of a Christian agency, Transatlantic Christian Accreditation, or whatever they call it.
Yes, it's TCA, something like that.
Facts.
We're not sure what that is, but it's a movement. If it's accredited, for instance, the baptisms never want to be accredited. Are they accredited now, then?
The same group as Stephen Jones wanted it to be accredited. Yes, but they have the Mickey Mouse accreditation.
Yes, but they said originally it's not going to be accredited by anything. Dallas Seminary, when I went to school, they weren't accredited. Now Dallas is accredited, see? So they got different things, and when it gets that way, you have all kinds of changes that take place.
Now, Dallas, in the case of Dallas, they have a regional accreditation, which is recognized by the state schools, by the people who care about accreditation.
Now, the thing about it is, if you want to go to a school to learn, you should not be concerned, what can I go on and beyond? If you want to learn at that school, if it's a good school like Dallas was, I learned that Dr. Schaefer was a teacher, never a credit. Does that mean I'm dumber because there wasn't a credit? See, they teach the materials. That's the thing. Accreditation only just gives a lot of other problems. So anyway, see that, but getting back to Hymenaeus or Philetus, fine. What do you have? More?
No,
same
no,
thing?
No, I just, I have several things in mind, but when you talk about Dallas, when you went to Dallas, and graduated from Dallas, and at that time, when a church wanted a good Bible sponsor, they wanted a Dallas man.
That's right.
They didn't care if it was a credit.
That's right, they didn't care.
They wanted a Dallas man. I don't know what they want now.
Right.
Lots of times people say, oh, that's a good church. He's a Dallas graduate and he teaches the Bible. I don't know what he does now.
And today it's different.
They probably don't teach the Bible.
That's completely different. They don't even have a doctor of theology anymore. Can he be a doctor of theology like we've had? They just knocked that out. They have women going there. They have women preachers studying that house. It's huge. 1,000 people now. When we went there, there were 250. See? Anna, got something?
Hello, Pastor Waite and everyone. I thank God for this morning's wonderful service, the Lord's table, the preaching, and the music. I am very happy to join you in this Bible study and all the discussion. It is good to see you. With prayers, joy, and thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus Christ, Anne Marie.
That's right, Anne Marie, we're up in Canada. Can we see Anne Marie? There you are. God, thank you for writing, and let's get back on Philetus and Hymenaeus, if we can. Okay, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Verse 17 and 18. What was their sin? What was their false teaching in verse 18? What was their false teaching, false doctrine? Talk about the resurrection. What did they say about the resurrection? It was past. When will the... How many resurrections are there, believers, or talked about for people? How many for the saved? How many for the lost?
One for the lost.
One for the lost. Resurrection of the lost. At the great white throne, we resurrect.
That's when you talk about the saved.
One
are limited to
Christians. The New Testament saints. Yeah, how many for New Testament saints?
When did the Old Testament?
That's a little bit later at Israel. But what? How about the New Testament saints? One. Saints. What is that called?
Rapture.
The rapture. That's true. What else is it called?
Blessed hope.
Blessed hope. What else is it called?
Resurrection.
What kind of resurrection?
The out resurrection.
No, well, that's true, but first resurrection. You talk about the first resurrection. Now, what time, if it's a rapture, when the resurrected bodies of... How many people are going to be in the resurrection, or rapture? How many people are going up in the rapture?
All those who are saved and are alive on the earth.
Okay.
How long does it happen?
Only those that are saved are alive on the earth?
Yes.
Nobody else?
Well, the dead are going to rise first.
Okay.
All the saved from Pentecost to the tribulation
are going out there. What does some teach about just some Christians that are living today? What is that called?
Partial
rapture. Is that true or false?
Yeah, it's false.
What do the partial rapture people teach?
I don't know.
Who's going to go and who's not going to go? According to partial rapture people.
Grandma
Christian? What's that?
Obedient Christians will be
raptured. Obedient Christians, yeah. So it's hard to tell who's going to be. They got certain rules. If you're just this way or that way, you can't be raptured. You have to stay here, go to tribulation. Does the scripture teach that?
Mm-hmm.
No, all Christians, saved or lost, whether they're carnal or not carnal. That's it.
Paul says the dead in Christ.
That's right.
No, in Christ means believers.
Those saved people.
Those saved people.
And then we which are alive remain. We Christians. See, it doesn't mean just part of it.
Yeah, that we would.
All we.
We would come into the same thing.
Yes, that's right.
We
all we.
Are in Christ.
That's right. All in Christ. So be brought up together. So now here they said the resurrection was past. So what does that imply? What today would we call the resurrection is past? What would they send the other false teaching?
Well, we
want to say. Oh, that's why I'm asking. What does it mean? The resurrection is past.
What does it mean that the rapture already happened?
Rapture is taking place. Now remember, Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 because people wonder, what about their loved ones if they died before us? But the Lord said all of us will be caught up. But if the rapture has already been taking place, what does that mean for the Christians that are still living in Paul's day?
They were left behind.
So they're just partial rapture. So that's a very serious thing, isn't it? In fact, people say, well, there were people left behind, not even saved, not even Christians, not even saved. So they thought that the resurrection was already past. That'd be the rapture of the past. Now, as a result of that...
October 21st.
Yeah, what is the Carol Campbell's teaching on resurrection coming of the Lord?
Well, it's not October 21st. It's the end of the world.
Because
I believe there is only a spiritual rapture now rather than a physical rapture.
Yes.
We have, according to his hermeneutic, we have the end of the world is going to be, I guess, what I mean, I don't correspond with him, but on October 21st,
yeah.
I believe he thinks it's going to be the end of the world.
End of the world.
But, I heard it on the radio the other day. Did you say the end of the month again? The end of this month?
Yes, the 21st. Is that 21st?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they?
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 2, he talks about the Thessalonians having been exposed to this fallacy, this heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second verse, first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. In other words,
yeah.
These people have forged letters and
right.
Signed their Paul's name to them,
mm-hmm.
Fallaciously, and not by letters as from us, as though the day of Christ is at hand.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And before he goes on to explain it, though let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed to some perdition.
Yes, that's good. So the resurrection is important, and all believers are there, and so this was a serious thing. In verse 18, what does it mean to overthrow the faith of some? What does that mean?
Remove it.
What is it?
Remove
the faith.
If you had something on a ship that you were overthrowing, say you were going to lighten the ship, I mean, like that, you'd squat.
So what would these people not believe? What would be overthrown? What part of their faith?
Resurrection.
That's right, resurrection, the rapture, certainly. Anna?
Perhaps after that they just lost all faith and completely abandoned the truth.
That could be. Could ban the whole thing. That's right. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give your comments or questions. Or call us. We're glad to talk to you. So it's okay. Ban the faith of some. Now, verse number 9,
Yvonne. Well, I was thinking about how he's talked about it in 1 Timothy. And then secondly, there was a lot of time between those two epistles, I imagine. And yet, the church still has this man who caused all this trouble. But eating away.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how Paul got the messages back and forth that he was still continuing. Like if he had email, he could get it right away.
That's probably a year before, 65 AD versus 66.
To him, is it done before Paul tells them and before they kick him out?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they didn't
pick them out. So Paul warns concerning Ammonius in the first letter and also in the second letter. That's important. But in verse 19, why is the nevertheless, do you think, in that verse 19? What does it go back to? In spite of all this. In spite of all this rejection of the truth of the resurrection, in spite of all this, the foundation of God. What is a foundation? What does it do?
It holds everything up.
Does it? Does the foundation hold things up?
Yep.
I thought that straight up pulled things up.
That's what it's built on.
Okay. If one thing is built, you have to have a foundation that's firm on rock instead of the sand, right? Something on which you're built.
The third chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul explains it. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another bit, but then he goes on in the next verse and he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
So Jesus Christ is the foundation.
Right.
And when he says here in 2 Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
All right.
And that's because the foundation is Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. So in other words, the foundational thing, when your foundation, like this building right here, this house, as a foundation, and then take heed that how a man buildeth thereupon. In other words, you build upon a foundation, and that's the girders and the whatever you call these things that go up the pillars. So, but the foundation of God, something that's founded right. Now, what foundation, for example, did our country get founded upon? The United States of America. The U.S. Constitution, that's the foundation. Is that foundation any longer being respected by our president and the Congress and the judicial. No, it's not. So it's a sad thing. But the foundation of God, what does it mean, standard? Sure. What's involved with that?
It doesn't waver.
It doesn't waver. You're not going to change it. The Bible, the Word of God, and the Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sure, solid. Isn't that wonderful to build on a solid foundation? That's what the Lord Jesus said about that parable about foundations, about the stone, the foundation, and then the sand. Was that important to have him tell us about that? We read about that in Matthew already, if you read it through the Bible.
The sand foundation didn't hold up the structure. Stone foundation was able to tell the whole of the structure.
Right, the whole structure wouldn't fall if it's built on a foundation that's permanent, fixed, sure. And so our foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sure. It will not change, it will not move. And that is us having this seal. What is a seal?
Authority.
Sign of authority. Seals of... What did they do at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Sealed
it. Why do you suppose they sealed that tomb? Okay. To go out. That's right. What was the lie that was told by the soldiers?
Disciples came
and stole the bodies. So that seal, that would mean they have to break the seal.
Did they seal it? I'm not sure, but because he said that he would rise again if any of them knew what
he
said. So they wanted to seal it and be sure that it wouldn't get broken.
Did the Lord Jesus break the seal?
No.
What happened to him?
Well, when he rose from the dead, everything exploded.
Well, did it explode? It was really great effort, but...
The stone was wrong way.
Why was the stone rolled away? Did he need the stone rolled away to get out of there?
No.
See, that's it. Did he break the seal?
God rolled the stone away.
I know God was later, so the apostles come up, but did he break the seal?
Thanks. Well, the popular opinion is that he broke the seal in order to get out of the tomb.
And that's true or false?
No, doesn't say that. Since he rose, he didn't need to break the seal.
How did he get out without the seal being broken?
He had a resurrection body.
Resurrection body.
And the seal was just broken and the stone rolled away by the angels.
So the apostles could see.
So that the disciples of the hell could see he wasn't there.
That's right.
Anna? Well, you said the stone was rolled away.
Didn't say who it was, but apparently...
But God could have broken the seal, but he didn't need to get out, but he still might have. So.
Well, he could have, just been able to. There's no question about that. But did the Lord Jesus have to break open the door in the upper room after the resurrection to be with the disciples? How did he get in?
He walked through.
Resurrection body.
Resurrection body. Able to walk through solid doors. So he's able to walk through solid tomb as well. So it's important to see the resurrected body be that type of body, different than ours. Well, this is solid. See, what is the essence of things? What is the essence of things?
Atoms.
Atoms. And what are atoms made of?
Electrons, protons, and neutrons, and quarks, and a whole bunch of other things.
Electrons, protons, neutrons, and electrons. All those things. Those are the atoms. It's by broken down atoms. So he went through the atoms in the resurrected body, but we can't go through these atoms. They're solid, see? But he was able to do it, and our resurrected body was able to do it also. Yeah, Vaughn.
I think, this is me, but I think that in that tomb, when he came to life, there was, I don't say atomic energy, there was some kind of wonderful energy in there in that tomb. Wonderful energy. That's
right. Well, he certainly got out of there. But the left foundation of God,
he rose from the dead. Well, about the ceiling,
whoever it
was
that
filled the tomb,
Probably Pilot or someone. Whoever it was.
Yeah.
One
thing
you have used a ring, and they would have, if it was broken, no one else could have resealed it.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably true.
Is
it?
Yeah, in Colossians 17. It tells you how he did this. It says, and he, speaking of Christ, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And by him, in other words, I thought there was a different version of speaking of holding things together. But anyway.
Well, consist means holding things together.
Consist. Right. So Christ himself is the force that's holding all these atoms together.
That's right.
So he can just do what he wants with it.
Exactly. That's good. So the foundation of God stands for having this seal. Now, the seal is defined here. What is the definition of this seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his. What does it mean, knoweth? In what sense? What is the attribute of God here? What is it? He's omniscient, all knowing. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Who are they?
Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit.
They have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be
sealed.
Okay, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit and indwelled with the Holy Spirit and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Saved, born again people. Know them that are his. The Lord knows. Now, do people know them that are his? Do you and I know everyone that are his?
No, we don't.
We don't. Sometimes we think. Even those that name the name of Christ, are they necessarily his?
No.
No, they're not. Are there fakes in the Christian world?
Oh.
Yes. Are there fake preachers sometimes also? Mm-hmm. Yes, and fake missionaries, right? Fake presidents of schools, and fake teachers.
Well,
they're fake enough, but they're fake being his. I'm talking about the his. The Lord knows them. Now, because the Lord knows them, what does the same John chapter 10 about the Lord knowing his own?
And
not my sheep, and they're knowing me. My sheep are knowing, and I know them, and they follow me. So he knows his sheep. He says, we don't know the sheep. He does know the sheep. And here, the Lord knoweth them that is. And there, because of that, in verse 19, what is the result of save those that are his? What should those that are his do or not do? Questions. BFTBC.org, 856 261 9018. Give us a call, give us a comment, or email. What are they to do, those that are his? Right. Depart. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. What does it mean to name the name of Christ?
Professed
believers. Say they're believers, and we hope it to be genuine believers, but if they name the name of Christ as a Christian, in real genuine, what should they do again?
Depart
from iniquity. What do you think, what does depart mean?
Leave.
Just leave. Get away from us. Is that?
And Paul is always warning Christians, or admonishing them rather, to not let the old man reign in your heart. We have been quickened by Christ, and the old man has been put to death. But, for example, in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth.
That's right.
When you set your affection on things above, while you are departing from iniquity.
All right. So that's the goal, that's the purpose of everyone that names the name of Christ, to depart from iniquity. Now the question is, where it says, let. How do you figure what that means, let everyone? Is that a suggestion? Is it a command? What? Is it a beseeching? What would be the effect of let? Somebody says, let you stay for church, or let you leave, or let you do that. What does that imply?
To allow.
To allow, to permit. In other words, this is what should be, but is always what happens? Is this always what happens to those that name the name of Christ? Do they all depart from iniquity?
No.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Why is it that saved, born-again Christians do not always depart from iniquity?
We still got that same nature.
Got the same nature, got the flesh as well as the spirit. What is iniquity anyway? How would you define iniquity? What is it?
Yes, the
twisted thinking. Twisted thinking is part of it. Iniquity is twisted thinking. What else? Iniquity.
Sin.
So we're all kinds of sin. Anna. Anna's got some. Okay. We'll pick that up as soon as Anna gets through with her questions.
All right. Hello, all. Jesus is the eternal I Am, who is the foundation and always in charge of everything for eternity. We will have trials and troubles, but Jesus is always working everything for good. God's love, Jonathan Novak.
Jonathan, glad you came. What's labor, Jonathan? Missed you today, Jonathan. We're glad you're talking and told us about that in this the email. Very good. Yes, that was okay, Anna.
Dear Pastor Wade, praise the Lord for 13 years of sound from Bible teaching at Bible for Today Baptist Church without accreditation, building approval, or apostasy. I am thankful to have been part of it for almost half of that time. Praying for many more years. In Christ, Rob.
Rob, thank you, Rob. Let's wave to Rob. Rob Moneygraf from Chicago. Thank you, Rob. Praise the Lord for you. Do you have that one, Anna?
Matthew 28:2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. The Lord certainly did not need the stone to be moved away for him to get out, as you already said, from Julie Monahan.
Julie, thanks. Let's wave again through her, Julie. Second wave. It's wave number two. Thank you for letting us know it's the angel of the Lord that rolled away the stone. The Lord didn't need it to get out, but the angel of the Lord, remember he said it was a Herod, was a Pilate. The angel of the Lord, thank you, Julie. Appreciate that. All right, so remember we had the question. Tammy asked the question. What's the distinction, the difference between sin, transgression, and iniquity? We'll start with sin, which is hamartano, which means to move something that's not right. Transgression, we know very clearly. Transgredio, to go across an offense, part of the commandment is to cross over and to violate what is already given. Iniquity is we're not sure about the details of it, but it's a good synonym in English, isn't it? Sin and iniquity. The Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53, all our iniquities were laid upon him with his stripes right here.
No,
it's
iniquity.
Well, I think it's our synonyms. I don't know the Greek difference between them.
But we should learn that,
isn't it? Hamartano means to miss the mark. You try to aim at something, you miss the mark. So it's veering off of what you should hit. That's what sin is in hamartano. Yeah, hamartia is sin. But iniquity, I don't know. Well, the iniquity in English is the same translation as hamartia. I'm not sure. The different English words that are translated in English maybe from the same Greek word. So sin and iniquity, to me, are the same.
We have another one.
Okay.
Go again. 1 Peter 2:6. Jesus, the chief cornerstone, one that believeth on him shall not be confounded. God's love, Jonathan, know that.
Jonathan, again, thank you. Raven, yes, I can wait for that. Thank you, Jonathan. So that's another foundation, another foundation, chief cornerstone. So let everyone, that's what God's will is for everyone, the name of the name of Christ. Now, somebody that is supposedly naming the name of Christ and does not depart from iniquity, what do you think about those people, men and women, boys or girls? Maybe hypocrites. What should they do? What is it? They should repent and change their ways and depart. Change their mind and go ahead and live for the Lord. Depart from iniquity. Is it easy or hard to depart from iniquity? It's difficult to depart. Do the people of the world want you to depart from iniquity? No, do they want to depart from iniquity?
No.
They want to get more iniquitous, 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 don't they? Questions of AFTBC.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us an email, a question or comment. Okay, so we had 17, 18, and 19. Let's read now verse number 20, 21, and 22. Start with 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some for honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Right in verse number 20, this great house. Several interpretations of that great house, but what do you think the great house consists of here? Probably the house of faith. They're believers, but some of them are different kind of believers. What do you think of gold and silver people would be in the house? Yeah, Dick.
Can I give a humble illustration? A great house, you think of a great mansion belonging to a millionaire, and in the dining room you have all of the sterling silver flatware, and you have the fine stem fine glass, and you have a nice Steinway grand piano in the living room, and but you know, at the back of the house, outside of the kitchen, you have a garbage can, and he speaks here of vessels of honor and of dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's saying here, in effect, don't be a garbage can Christian.
Yeah, that's good illustration. So they have the vessels. If this speaks of the house of the Lord, he speaks of Christian people. Many people feel this about unsaved people, but if it's really Christian people, you have some gold and silver Christians, you have some wood and earth Christians. Yvonne?
Well, there's another verse, something like this in the Bible. But this could be...
1 Corinthians 3 is another verse like that. Go ahead.
This could be the Christians, but God uses all people. All people. Not even wrong. Like you can be gold and silver. you can be a garbage can for the Lord. If you're a garbage can for the Lord, I guess that's not what this means.
Well,
I thought this might be talking about the church.
Yeah, all right, Tammy.
Well,
That's why I believe this is referring to Christians, every kind of Christian in a big house, a Christian's house, and the gold and silver are valuable vessels, and wood and earth, on wood and earth vessels in a house, they have a use, they have usefulness. You know, you can do some things with gold and silver, some things you can't eat off of gold and silver, but you can eat off of vessels of wood or of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. So, yes, Anna?
Well, we were just having a dispute back here that you couldn't eat off of gold and silver.
I suppose if you had that much gold and silver around your house, we don't have that much around to be able to make a vessel out of it. Yes.
That's very close to 1 Corinthians 3 where he talked about building, each person is helping to build this house and to build with gold, silver, precious stones rather than wood, hay, and silver.
Mm-hmm. You see, the interpretation of verse number 20 depends upon the interpretation of verse 21. Because 21 says, if any man purge himself from these, so you see, we're going to get out of purge yourself of something. What are these referring back to? Probably says, okay, what else? In verse 20. Verse 19 says, yes, yes, sir. What about verse 20? What are some of the things you're purge yourself from? We have some to honor, some to dishonor. Purge yourself of these dishonorable ones. Probably the dishonorable ones. See, that was just the one just in front of that beast. And the dishonorable ones are vessels of wood and earth. Now, they've got a use, but they're dishonorable. They're not used for something. Purge yourself from these dishonorable ones. Yeah, huh?
I guess I was thinking of, the weaker vessel, the stronger vessel.
Yes, like the wife, the weaker vessel.
And mm-hmm. So I thought, and there's some place about it. There's some place in the Bible where God uses all different kinds of materials.
Yes.
I guess it doesn't apply here.
Doesn't I think that God can use anybody, whether it's a weaker vessel or a stronger vessel or whatever, but in this case, it's talking about a great house and not only vessels of gold and silver, now those are valuable, but also wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Dick Bell gave the illustration of the garbage can. Certainly that would be a dishonorable type of a situation.
But what can we do without a garbage can?
Well, that's true. It'd be like that girl in the dollar store didn't have a wastebasket. You want to throw something away, she got all upset because she didn't have a wastebasket. Remember that?
A tiny piece of paper, yes. And I didn't want to, and she wouldn't take it. She said, I have to take all my garbage home with me.
So she couldn't even put a little wastebasket. So anyhow, I was a little bit disturbing that day.
I think there's a difference here. Paul here is not talking about people who are weak and can't do quite as much as some other people who are stronger,
mm-hmm.
but yet they can do what they can. He's not talking about that.
No.
He's talking about people that are, as he said before, up here before, that haven't departed from iniquity.
Yes.
And to clean your act up.
Yes, exactly.
You can serve the Lord.
That's
whether,
right.
whether you're a weak vessel or a strong one.
Can a weak vessel still be gold and silver?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Whether you're flat on your back, whether you're just a poor person, you can love the Lord Jesus Christ to be gold and silver. You don't have to be earth and wood. Devon?
So Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were garbage cans. Why were they kept there so long? Why weren't they disciplined out of the church? Because 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, why were they permitted to be there and corrupt the church?
1 Timothy 1:20, he's delivered out of Satan.
Why is he still talking about it?
Because they didn't leave quite then.
Well, I think they were necessarily still in the church. I think they were just wandering around and still including people like some of those people you hear on the radio that we mentioned earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned something.
That's camping out of it. All right. So that's good. So, to purge. What does it mean to purge? Verse 21. Purge. What does that mean?
Clean it out.
He purges himself and they clean him up and, what happened if you do purge yourself from this dishonorable type of vessel? What does it say will happen?
Then you become a vessel of honor.
Vessel of honor. See, that's what God wants to separate from the dishonorable vessels. Now, they name the name of Christ, but they're walking dishonorably. And the word of earth, we're purged suddenly, that they may be a vessel unto honor. Now, what else is mentioned in verse 21? Honor, what else? What does sanctified mean?
Set apart.
Set apart to the Lord. Sanctified. Can those that are in the flesh still be sanctified by the Lord?
Yes.
What are God's means of sanctification?
Very difficult thing.
Difficult, but what are God's means? How can He do it? How can you be sanctified? Set apart.
Trials.
What trials will set you apart? What else? What are God's means?
Indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the powerful means. And reading the Word of God and praying to the Lord. These are different means to be set apart, sanctified. And then what does the word meet? What does meet mean in old English King James Bible?
Fit and suitable.
Fit and suitable, that's right. Suitable for what?
For the
who's the master today?
The Lord Jesus Christ,
the master. Now, can those that are dishonorable vessels be meet for the master's use? Can they be meet and fitting? Dishonorable? They have to clean up their act. That's right, they have to part from the act. In other words, the Lord is looking for people that are fitted, suitable to Him. These are the requirements. Now, I have all sorts of worldly Christians or carnal Christians. They may be saved and born again, but they're walking according to the flesh, the world, and the devil. They're not going to be fit for the master's use. Why does the master want clean vessels to you?
Well, we want
a
clean vessel to put
our
water in our
mouth. Well, that's true. What are the reasons for the Lord Jesus Christ wanting sanctified, clean vessels?
For His glory.
For His glory and for His ability. Was the Lord Jesus dishonorable?
No.
He was pure and sinless and spotless and perfect. And He wants His people to serve Him in that same way. Now, obviously, we're sinners. If we're saved, we're saved by God's grace. We've still got the sin nature. But still, He wants sanctified, fitted vessels. What did God do when He wanted somebody meet for Adam? In the same sense, fitting and suitable.
He made somebody.
He made it. What did He call her? I will make thee a
woman.
Help meet for Him. Fitting for Him. A special woman. Fit exactly for that man. And that's how He made Eve. So this is, the Lord wants us meet, fitting, suitable for the master's use. Does that mean the master wants to use saved people?
Yes.
You better believe He wants to use them. Do all Christians get used? Do they all use, do want to be used of the Lord?
I don't know.
Do they seemingly all want to be used of the Lord? But I think some of them, they don't care, actually. They say, well, I'm too late, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too tired. All these different excuses. But Paul says to this pastor, Timothy, that says, meet for the master. And then what's the next part of verse 21? An honorable vessel, sanctified, meet for the master. And what else? What's the last qualification?
Prepared
unto what? What's the meaning to be prepared? That's a boy's mouth, boy's mouth. What's the meaning?
Be ready.
All right. Now, be ready for what? In this verse.
Do what God wants you to
do for every good work. How do you find out what good works are? How do you find out what good works are? The Word of God, the Scriptures, that's the only thing it gives us. Does the world know what good works are? They have all kinds of things good works. All the filthiness of Hollywood and cesspools and iniquity of all these trash magazines and things. They think those are good. But the Bible gives a distinguishing feature. What's it?
Yes, what
are
the good works?
There are
some good works. Whatever,
speaking
the truth in love.
Speaking the truth in love is good work. Yeah. Some of the good works would be fruit of the Spirit. All those are good works. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, peace, meekness,
temperance.
Something you do, good works. Serving the Lord and trying to meet for every good work. Fitting to every work. Master, you said that.
Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yes.
So He ordained us to,
yes, to do good works. And that's our goal. That's what we should do after we've been saved by grace through faith, plus nothing. No works that are saved us, but good works. Being honest, do what you're supposed to do, be strong, pray, go to church, read about all kinds of things that are good works. Don't steal, don't do all these other things against the Word of God.
You have to start with faith before you can do anything.
know.
Start with what?
You cannot serve the Lord if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You can't serve
the Lord. That's right. It has to be the fruit of the Spirit before you can serve the Lord. That'd be right. Yes, it. And then what?
This is not works in order to be saved.
No,
by the works.
Right. Absolutely. What?
Well, Dorcas would know for a good work, and when she died, they cried and they showed all the garments and everything. Like when Mrs. Carroll died, they showed her the things she made.
Yes,
and
she did.
That was very interesting, because I wouldn't have known that about her. And then someone else, Martha, she did good works. She got criticized for it.
Yes, Mary and Martha and sisters.
What exactly are good works?
Things that praise the Lord.
But what are we... I mean, what is good works?
Things that praise the Lord. Praise, that's all I can say. Things that God approves. Other than the Scripture that God approves. Patience and joyfulness and
kindness.
Well, these are things that are things that are intangibles, but they're still works that we can...
But James talks about works.
Faith without works is dead, being alone. Working hard, doing what's right, not being violating anything of the Scripture. These are good works. Things that are deeds. We're going to stop right here, but you have any other comments or questions before we leave?